Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. I'm Sharon Lecter. I'm the host of the Play Big Moment podcast, and I'm very excited today to introduce a new friend to you. We've met once before, but Steve Trang is a real dynamo within the real estate. In fact, disruptor within the real estate industry. And we'll have some more information in the show notes about him. But, you know, as you always know, I like to try and start with our guests. And I said, Steve, share a little bit about little Steve. How did you get started?
Oh, man. Little Steve, like when I was a kid?
Yes.
Oh, well, so we came here as immigrants, right? So I was born in a refugee camp, came here as an infant. And for me, little Steve, I didn't speak a word of English until I was about 4 years old. I think a lot of immigrants my age, we learned to speak English through Sesame Street, right? And so so pretty much, at home with multi-families, right? Like, coming here, again, with not a lot of money, multiple families living in the same household, right? And then we went through public school, so raised in Phoenix, moved to Chandler when I was 8, and parents always were hard workers, and I had one responsibility, which was to get good grades. I did that, and then have 5 younger brothers along the way, and, you know, play like a secondary authority figure at home, right? Cover like a manager, you know, cover while mom and dad are at work, and did all the stuff we were supposed to do growing up in an Asian family. So get good grades, go to college, get a good job. Everything went to plan until I decided to go work for myself.
And what was that trigger? Were you already married or were you still single when you decided to start working for yourself?
I was still single, and, you know, you might not be surprised. It was Rich Dad, Poor Dad that, you know, made that difference. Because until I picked up that book, the option outside of W-2 was never really an option. Like, I played with the idea, but then once I saw, you can cash flow, you can have a financial freedom number. Oh, like, this working for somebody else thing is for the birds. That's not for me.
Yeah. Well, and we all discover that at some point, but mm-hmm. What happens is most of us don't do it because we go into that revolving rat race, mm-hmm. right? That pattern of go to school, get a job, and work, and come home, and go back to work, come mm-hmm. home, and go back to work.
Yeah.
And it kind of drums creativity out of your brain cells, doesn't mm-hmm. it? So yeah. How did you first get started into real estate? You read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you said, oh, I can do this. What was your first foray?
So I have 3 best friends. We all have known each other from 7th grade. They knew each other before then, like in 5th and 6th grade. But, you know, we've always been close, and so, you know, through high school, college, and so on, and we stayed connected, and we all read the book around the same time, and we all thought, hey, let's get into real estate, but we didn't buy rentals at first. We started flipping at first. Did not work out so well. You know, we bought our first property in 05, and as a flip, and then took too long to finish it because it's our first flip, and so then the first foray into it wasn't so great. And then we tried to buy rental properties, and as I'm trying to buy rental properties, I meet a realtor, and I was like, well, you know, what do you do? And he says, I just sell houses. Okay, like, what does that look like? He's like, oh, you know, we make 6 figures a year. So what do you do? I just talked to people. I said, I can do that, right? So I quit my really stable, steady W-2 engineering job to go do that. So that was the first step was to, instead of buying rental properties, like we were taught, or what it says in the book, we got distracted. I also have shiny object syndrome. So became a realtor, which was not the goal, not the purpose.
Well, it's a good education, right?
Great education.
Yeah, you learn a lot about real estate.
Yeah.
I was a real estate agent for about 6 months when I first moved to Arizona just to get to know the industry and to get to know the area. So as you developed into this, you realized you could create your own wealth, which you did.
Yes.
But then you came to that point where you said, I have the opportunity to help others as well. So talk about that transition.
Yeah. So a lot of what I did was because I was very independent, didn't like being told what to do, very financially motivated. You know, it's almost kind of like a Christmas story, right? And then once I at some point, being a realtor, I opened a brokerage because, like, again, for some other stupid reason, you think this is the next logical step. It's not. So I opened a brokerage, and after I opened the brokerage, I started coaching realtors. And from there, I was like, this is very rewarding. Taking a person who's making $30,000 a year as a server and helping them bring in $300,000 a year as a realtor was very rewarding. And from that, you know, I read Think and Grow Rich. That's one of the first three books I read once I became self-employed. And I remember, you know, someone asked, who is it? Carnegie. You know, like, you have 18 millionaires that work for you. Like, how do you manage that? And he said, you're asking the wrong question, right? Because they weren't millionaires until they worked for me. And that was something that always inspired me. And so when I started the podcast, I wanted to pay it forward even more. That's why I start every episode, say we're on a mission to create 100 millionaires, because with the reach that we have, we should be able to impact enough lives to create multiple millionaires many times over.
And if somebody, you know, watching and listening right now wants to be one of those 100 millionaires, how can they find you?
The best way is on Instagram at steve.trang, but our content is on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and it's just Disruptors. Now, there's multiple Disruptors, or one of them. Just look up Steve Trang and Disruptors. You should be able to find it.
Well, he's got a fantastic podcast, and I'm excited. I'm actually in his studio. That's why I look so fancy today. And he's letting me record the Play Big Movement podcast segment here in his studio. And look what they did, this incredible logo. It's a real gift. So don't expect it every time, because this is a special thing with Steve. But Steve, tell me a little bit about, you know, people are sitting at home and I want them to understand they can do it too. It's dedication, it's hard work, it's not an overnight success.
Right.
But you have now, and I love your podcast because you're highlighting a lot of young people that have been able to put in the time, the effort, the energy, and the commitment, and they've created wealth for themselves when they didn't have any to begin with.
Exactly.
And so that is my goal in life, is to help people understand that, you know, you don't have to have the PhD. In fact, sometimes it's better not to.
Right.
Right. To have the street smart and to know that it's about buying, building, and creating assets that produce income. I talk about assets are sexy. That's one of my taglines. And that's I talk about your financial freedom is when the income from your assets exceeds your monthly expenses.
Right.
And that's such an important concept. And it doesn't have to be millions of dollars.
It doesn't.
You know, when I met Robert Kiyosaki, he had two small apartment complexes. He was making $100,000 a year, but his living expenses were only $35,000, $36,000. So he was financially free. Mm-hmm. That was the message that I wanted to bring to the world. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like you're doing that as well now.
Yeah, it's important for me because I think I think my background, you know, going back, the reason why we're here is, you know, I'm of Chinese ethnicity. You know, my grandparents were in China and they had everything taken away when communism took over and they fled to Vietnam and they started everything. So merchants in China started all over to become merchants in Vietnam and then communism won again and they had everything taken away again. And they were too old at this point. So my parents fled and that's why I was born in a refugee camp on the way here. So for me, entrepreneurship, capitalism really is really, really important. And the best way to preach capitalism is entrepreneurship, right? If you're creating jobs, you're creating wealth, you're employing people, changing people's lives, and they can see it. Right? Small business is the backbone of our country. You wouldn't know it if you watched the news, right? But like that's the reason why I press so hard. So we create a content around, it's the clickbait is very capitalism heavy. It's a lot of big numbers, right? But we can preach the gospel's on capitalism and, you know, hopefully fight off this evil thing that's coming.
That's right. Well, and it is, I tell people this country was based on free people with free speech, with free markets that allow for free enterprise.
Exactly.
And all four of those freedoms are under threat right now. Yes. So we have to do whatever we can to protect them.
Right.
And it is, you know, I tell people you have control over three things: your thoughts, your words, your actions. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, as an employee, you don't necessarily have control over your actions, because you have to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And so entrepreneurship is the ticket to being able to be financially free.
Yeah.
So what's the future for Steve?
So something I'm on a mission to, for myself personally, is to create the largest sales training organization in the country. I'm looking to build an asset that I could either sell or do a cash out or something, right? But I really want to change the message on sales, because sales, for the longest time, if you survey 100 people on the street, I imagine 90 to 95% would not have a positive view of salespeople. You know, salespeople are generally down there with the politicians and the lawyers, right? And so I want to change this this representation, and I think the best way to change this representation is actually teach salespeople how to sell effectively versus how everyone's taught, because the old way of sales is taught from the old school, which is you bully the person into signing a contract. You got the stare down, the assumptive close, and so on. And really, our sales style is to have an honest conversation with the other person, figure out what's important to them. So instead of trying to sell them your product, try to figure out what they're trying to buy. And then after you figure out what they're trying to buy, you can help them figure out which one of your options serves their goal. So really, I look at it as, you know, objection-proof selling, because, like, how can they object to what they've told you they wanted to buy? So that's what our mission is in the future.
Yeah, I teach, consider, are you selling or are you serving?
Exactly.
You know, selling is transaction, is a one-time thing, and you end up having to repeat it. If you're serving, you're creating a relationship that generates a lifetime of sales. So
exactly.
Sounds like that's a very, very consistent with what you're talking about.
Absolutely, yep.
Well, you're going to hang out with me for another quick little recording that we're going to do for the private Facebook group. So if you're not a member of the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement, make sure you do. I hope you've taken notes, because, you know, Steve is absolutely proof positive that you can, you know, that from starting with a desire, a goal, and commitment, you've been able to not only become financially free, but help others as well. So it's possible. And it's a matter of you making that decision, again, controlling your thoughts, your words, and actions. Any last words for our audience?
I mean, just to add to that, right? Something I've said before is, like, we live in the greatest country that's ever been created, and it's the greatest time to ever be alive. And so why not you? Why not take advantage? Why not play big?
I love it. I love it. And you and I are participating in an event with John Burley, a dear friend of mine. We've known each other for over 25 years.
Yeah.
August 24th, we're going to be doing this event in Litchfield, and it's going to be an incredible day of learning on real estate and understanding what's working today and how to get involved and how to create that financial freedom. So
Absolutely. We'll
have in the show notes how you can sign up for it, but I'm excited to be able to share the stage with you and look and seeing how we can help the people that say they're ready to be there to learn.
And I'm more excited to share the stage with you.
Well, we'll be equally excited.
Yeah.
And John is an absolute dear friend. We'll have a great day of three people invested in the people that are in the audience.
So absolutely.
I look forward to that. Thank you, Steve. And thank you guys for watching and listening to this episode of the Play Big Movement podcast. Join us on the 24th. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn @Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.